In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Friday, friends.
Happy Friday.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games, and I would trade in my car for a pet dragon because I could just put a saddle on it and ride it to work. It'd be great.
I want to see that.
Me too.
I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies, and I have two small direwolves that look like Boston Terriers, and they are my wolf pack.
No, wolf pack.
Wolf pack. I can't talk, man. I got bronchitis. Wolf. It all works.
I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch television, and I would choose a dire wolf as a pet over a dragon, obviously, because dogs are the best.
Do they fly, though? I don't know.
Dragons are cool, though.
I agree.
Dragons are cool, but, like, can you cuddle them? No, because their scales would cut you.
When their babies are cool.
Yeah. There's the fire thing, but...
There's, like, a week where they're probably cuddly, and then it's just, like, it's all hell from there.
Awesome. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. If you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be amazing if you could write a quick review about the show, because not only do you help other fans of our pod who love nerdy pop culture find us, as a thank you, we'll give you a very special shout out on the next episode. So everybody wins. It's great. We love the feedback, and you get a shout out on our show. So it's wonderful. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, outside it might feel like spring to a lot of you, but winter is almost sort of kind of here. Here's a clip.
Everything you did brought you where you are now. Where you belong. Home.
They're coming. Our enemy doesn't tire. Doesn't stop. Doesn't feel.
I promise to fight for the living. I intend to keep that promise.
That was from the 8th and final season of HBO's Game of Thrones, which premieres on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. It is the beginning of the end for the epic fantasy series that has changed pop culture, launched actors' careers and 1,000 memes, and made Kelly Sunday nights a living hell since it started in 2011. Sorry, Kelly.
Yeah.
Now, although on the bright side, Kelly was lucky enough to have seen the first episode of the 8th season, but she's not allowed to tell us a damn thing about what she saw. So we're not going to ask her, although we're really tempted to.
You know how like Zack Snyder sometimes knocks on our door?
Yeah.
HBO is just going to send Obama to knock on our door. He's the only other person who's allowed to see it.
Does anyone die in the show? Oh, see, there we go. But we can talk about what to expect in the final season. Also, what we want to see, whether or not we think Thrones will land this perfect series finale the way shows like Breaking Bad and The Americans have, or if we have a How I Met Your Mother moment, which... Kelly has said plenty of things about over the course of the life of this podcast and beyond.
That's what I think of the How I Met Your Mother finale. I'm sorry.
So before we dig into season 8, Kelly, catch us up to where the show left off on season 7, which we last saw in 2017, actually. So we're getting close to 2 years since the last season.
You just sum up 7 seasons. That's it. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Handily, I have summed up 7 seasons at life.usatoday.com, where essentially I wrote a Wikipedia article, but with more snark, detailing everything you need to remember from the first 7 seasons. I watched all of them in the space of about 2.5 weeks, which was a lot. But it let me rank the episodes and write you Wikipedia summaries and write about Easter eggs and a whole lot of other stuff that is still coming. But essentially where we left off, season 7 finale had that really lame summit in King's Landing. Jaime and Cersei know about the White Walkers now. Cersei kind of doesn't care. Still wants the throne. Lied and said she was going to come north. Jaime was pissed. Left her. Rode north. Jon and Dany had boat sex. Everybody loves the boat sex. Tyrion was pissed about the boat sex, apparently. He had a very dark look on his face. Arya and Sansa were like fake fighting, except it's still annoying because they were fake fighting when Littlefinger wasn't in the room, but apparently it was all for Littlefinger's benefit. Whatever. They killed Littlefinger. That's done. And so, you know, everyone is sort of on the way north and Cersei's got her position in the south. And then the Ice Dragon brought down the wall.
And Brett doesn't watch this show, by the way. So how confused are you right now?
I just heard boat sex and I'm like, what's happening right now? What the heck is happening?
Let me make sure I'm enunciating correctly. It is boat sex and yes. Not a different word that sounds kind of like that word.
No, I didn't even think of that, but thank you very much for clarifying.
It kind of sounded like that when you said it. And so I was like, oh God, what if I'm saying it? And then the USA Today censor police come knocking at our door.
So for full disclosure, I've watched the first half of season 1. And obviously the very first episode is just incest right away. So I was, and I remember mentioning on Twitter where I was like, no one told me about the incest like right at the first episode.
Oh, the boat sex is incest?
I was just going to ask that because I thought I had heard they were brother and sister.
They're aunt and nephew.
Wow, this show is something. Oh, yeah. I really got to watch
and
this.
And we found out that Jon Snow is really Aegon Targaryen, rightful heir to the Iron Throne and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so more incest. But I had to cover Game of Thrones canon at Comic-Con like a few years ago. And I never watched the show until like last year. I was like, I have no clue what these people are talking about. And I'm like, I still wrote it up and everything. I was like, okay. You know, I had Bill, our LA colleague, check me because he watches the show. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm writing about. Whatever. Now, I didn't even have boat sex that to write about, though.
Well, sorry to hear that.
We've ruined cruises for every newlywed out there.
Seriously. For the record, though, you are caught up now.
So I am you're caught, all up. The yes, way caught up. Yes, thank God.
Okay. So season 8, Kelly, what do we know is definitely happening for sure in season 8?
So the only thing we know for sure, and this is not drawing on my forbidden knowledge of the season 8 premiere, but the only thing the cast has been allowed to talk about in advance of season 8 has been the Battle of Winterfell, which we know is coming at some point, which will be a battle between our coalition in the north versus the Night King and the White Walkers. Now, we have heard that that's probably going to be episode 3 because the actor who plays the Night King let that slip during an overseas press tour.
Oops.
Which is very interesting because that's sort of one would think that might be the final thing in terms of like the Song of Ice and Fire, which is like the real name of the George R. R. Martin books, and this sort of like hero's journey that we've had for Jon Snow and Dany. So it brings up a lot of questions about what the end game is. and what exactly the show is all about, because you kind of come from these two camps where is the show really about this like battle between good and evil, life and death? Is the show really about the politics of the Game of Thrones? Is it just about incest? Is it about something else?
Is it just about boat sex, really?
Yeah. So I think that's what the final season really needs to like lay out, is what is the show about? And inevitably, I think that's probably going to be something different than what are the books about, because they're so different at this point. I really hope he finishes the books. I don't think he will. Please finish them.
And there's like 8 episodes this season, right?
6.
6. So, like, they're going to get to... Well, Battle of Winterfell, like, be two episodes at least.
No, it's one really long episode.
Really?
Yeah.
So now, but the six episodes are longer than normal, right?
Some of them are. Okay. A few of them are longer. The first episode, the season premiere, is usual hour-long length.
Well, there we go. So, Brian, what is one question that you want answered most season eight?
Who the hell's going to tell Jon Snow that he slept with his aunt? That's what I want to know. Because I feel like... One of the things I love about the show, and I don't really like fantasy that much, and people are always shocked by this because this geek my jam, but I don't really like fantasy, like Lord of the Rings and Hobbit, like whatever. You know, I don't hate it, but I just can't get into, like, you know, dragons are cool, but like the knight and some of the other stuff, I just can't get into it. And but I mean, I think this show proves that like great characters equal great story, no matter what genre. And, you know, and the fighting's cool. The swerves are cool. You know, the weddings that turn into a bloody mess are cool. But I think it's just like Jon Snow, you know, Arya Stark. You know, you spend time with these people and you start rooting for them. You want to see them kind of go the distance and maybe not end up on their throne, but you want to see them safely through there. And so you have favorites and not so favorites, and Joffrey, glad he's off.
A member of the Punchable Face All-Stars.
Exactly. Totally.
Him and Bryce Harper.
I like Jon Snow and I like Daenerys. And I'm like, I kind of want to see these two guys hook up because they're kind of cool together. But now that we know that, like, oh, they're, you know, they're related. And Jon Snow's like the true heir to the Iron Throne. And somebody's not going to like that very much. So so there's conflict there. So you're like, okay, you know, I kind of want to see him kind of get through it. But you don't know if they're going to. And I think that's kind of the cool thing about this season is just like all the other shit about the White Walkers and zombies, ice zombies and things like that. I'm just kind of, I just want Jon and Daenerys to be cool.
Does he know they're related at all?
No.
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 Does she know they're related at all?
No. At the end of the seventh season, the only people who know are Bran / the Three-Eyed Raven and Sam. Oh, yes, Bran. For Brett and people who don't watch the show, has become a magical, weird robot man who can see the future, the past, and the present, and no longer has emotions. It's super fun.
I can't get behind that. It's stupid. There are stupid parts of the show, by the way. Because it is. It does get a little... Because, you know, some of the things I don't like about fantasy is it turns magic into like a Deo Ex Machina, where everything just kind of like happens because it's magic. You know, you go back to like, is the Hobbit or Lord of the Rings, where like, you know, you have all these Battle of the Seven Armies and all of a sudden eagles start coming in and like eagles save the day or something like that. I can't remember. But there's something dumb like that.
It's in The Return of the King.
Yeah.
Badly in the books, there are more explanations about what the eagles are and what they do and when they can and cannot come, but it's fine.
But yeah, but stuff like that bothers me. And you know, and like Bran all of a sudden becoming like, you know, the Three-Eyed Raven. I can't keep on that. So
Kelly, what's the burning question that you are wanting answered in this season?
Where is Edmure? No, I'm kidding. But like also like where the f*** is Edmure? I talked about this in a video and I think I've written a story about this. But like as far as we know, he was in the Frey dungeon and then Arya killed all the Freys. So is he just starving there? He's her uncle? Anyways.
I like this show. I don't even know who that is. And I think there's like so many, like, because I'm not like a hardcore fan. I like the show. But there's so many characters. This thing. I don't even know who that is. Is that the guy? Is that the kid? Is that the kid, the blacksmith kid?
No, that's Gendry.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Edmure is Catelyn's brother.
I don't even know who that
is. The one who got married at the Red Wedding.
Anyway.
Anywho. No, but what I really want to know is what is the Night King's motivation? Because literally the biggest sin the show could commit in season eight is making the Night King a completely obscure, motivationless villain, like the worst Marvel villains who just want death and destruction, hiding behind prosthetics and CGI. And this show has had so many great villains and some bad ones. Ramsay was a bad villain. You know, think of like Ramsay versus Joffrey. Ramsay is just pure evil and like gross, and like the torturing got really old. Joffrey was like layers of insecurity and fear. So you knew why he tortured people. It wasn't just because he's a sadist. I mean, he was a sadist, but it was also because he was so afraid of anyone thinking he was weak, and he was weak. And you think about the time that Tywin literally sent him to his room. You know, he can torture Sansa all he wants, but when he comes up against true power, he falters. Anyway, I just think that if the Night King is just trying to turn everyone into zombies because, like, survival or whatever.
It's nature.
It's dumb.
I mean, that's what it is, though. He is not one of the great villains. I think they're an army of zombies, and, you know, it's nature. It's kind of man against nature, and nature just kind of like, nature wants to break through the wall. Nature kind of like doesn't really think it has like this thing where it has momentum. You know, it just eats whatever comes in. It's, you know, it's very much a horror movie villain in a certain degree. I don't think it's ever going to be like Cersei or Joffrey or anything. I think that's who's going to be being the, you know, the big villain at the end is Cersei.
I love Cersei. She's one of the show's best characters. A lot of people thought she was going to die in season 7, and I'm so glad she didn't, because I think, especially since the Night King right now is such a blank slate, she brings so much to the show. And, you know, yeah, she's like really evil and killed a bunch of people, but like she's so good.
So obviously one of the big themes across Game of Thrones is everybody dies for the most part. Is there a character where you absolutely 100% want this person alive? Are you attached to anyone where it's like if they die, it's over for you, Kelly?
So I'm not really attached to anyone anymore. I think since the books, when I read the Red Wedding scene in the books, I threw it across the room. I threw the book across the room, not the Red Wedding. I didn't have possession of it. Modifiers are important, kids.
Let's eat grandma. No, anyway.
And then I went to my dad, who had read the books first, and I was like, what the hell? And he was like, the Starks were never very good at the game anyway. Such great parenting. I love Davos. He's sort of the conscience of the show. Also, Liam Cunningham is a badass who I totally bonded with when I interviewed him. So I'd be really sad if he died. I think he's probably very high up on the list of people who would probably die because he is so morally good. But yeah, I really want the ending where either Jon or Dany is dead or both of them. I don't want both of them to survive because that's lame.
Well, there you go. Brian.
I think Jon and Arya are probably my favorite characters, and I feel like they're probably going to go the distance just because the show is kind of built around the Starks, and I think, you know, between Sansa and Arya and Jon to his, you know, Jon's like, you know, kind of like the Stark. But, you know, I think he's part of that family. I think they will make it to the end just because I don't see one of them dying anytime before, like maybe the last two episodes. I think Samwell and Tyrion, though, are probably the ones, you know, who are probably like more likely to die, but I kind of want them to kind of survive just because Samwell's the best. I think he's just kind of, you know, he's just adorable and a good heart. One of the only good-hearted people in the whole show, really. And then Tyrion, I think, you know, I think he's too stubborn to die. But also, I think among all of them, I think he's had the best character arc of anybody. Just from, like, you know, being the total he was at the beginning to then, you know, kind of going on his own hero's journey and, like, becoming somebody who's find redemption and, you know, kind of, like, the guy does have a soul. So I want them to live too.
So obviously another big part of the show is everyone chasing the Iron Throne. Who do you think ends up with it? Or do you think anyone ends up with it?
Kelly has my initial answer, but then I have like a answer B. So I'll let Kelly.
Brian was supposed to answer this question first, and I looked at his answer on our planning document, and it just says, Kelly took my answer. Yeah. But yeah, my hope is that the throne itself gets destroyed and that, you know, Dany always talks about breaking the wheel in terms of governing, but we've actually seen that she's not very good at governing in Meereen. And I hope by the end of the show, we realize that like monarchy isn't that great, kids. It's like not good. People aren't good at it. And I also think we're heading towards no one on the throne, because of HBO's For the Throne marketing campaign. That's like the hashtag they're going with this season. And so obviously that's a misdirect.
Oh, there you go. Brian, what do you think?
I think that's how the show should end. Somebody destroying the Iron Throne or it getting destroyed during some like battle or something. And it being kind of like the symbol of monarchy being destroyed in Westeros. But I would not mind seeing Daenerys on the throne and then Jon Snow sitting on like an ottoman right next to it.
He gets the Iron Ottoman. Or the
Ottoman Empire belongs to John Snow.
What's the appropriate metal below that? It's like the Copper Ottoman or something? Or is it like something else? I don't know.
The Steel Ottoman.
The Tungsten Ottoman.
That sounds like an actual product. I would totally buy it. So Kelly wrote about this. It's on life.usatoday.com, her guide to every single episode of Game of Thrones. Kelly, if you don't mind sharing for our lovely listeners, what was your favorite episode from this whole series? How many episodes were you at? 80? 82, I think?
No, there are 67 episodes in total that have aired. And I ranked every single one of them.
Okay.
You're welcome. But my very favorite is Blackwater, which is season 2, episode 9, which is Stannis's a siege of King's Landing. So if you remember where we were in the story at that point, there was the War of the Five Kings was raging. Stannis had killed through Melisandre's shadow baby. I'm saying this in like the most opaque terms to make Brett extra confused, by the way.
That's totally fine.
Shadow baby had killed Renly. So Stannis had inherited Renly's army minus the Tyrells and was taking King's Landing, which had like nobody because Tywin wasn't there. And Tyrion was trying to defend it in spite of Joffrey and Cersei doing everything to stop his good stuff. So it's the first episode of the whole series that takes place all in one location. They ignore Dany, ignore Jon, ignore Arya just to hang out in King's Landing. And that was a really powerful script writing technique at the time because obviously they hadn't done it before. They've done it since, but it like really stopped you as you were watching the episode. And they took their time with it. They had all these small moments between characters who maybe didn't get big moments, like Bronn and the Hound have this great moment at the beginning of the episode. Obviously, it's where all of the Cersei more wine gifts come from. It's from that episode. She gets drunk with Sansa. They do the cool wildfire trick in that, which sets up lots of stuff for later on, but also is like visually arresting and not something you've seen in fantasy before. And it's just so well balanced. It's so well done. It's everything the show does well, which is mixing the magic and the swords and the character stuff into this perfect little mini movie, honestly, even though I hate calling TV movies. This could stand on its own as like this little movie about this battle that happened.
So, Brian, what is your favorite episode?
I don't think like that, man. You know, I think, you know, kind of like people who watch TV for a living are just like, I'm not, you know, it's not my jam. It's, you know, I like covering TV and stuff, but I just don't think of things like, you know, like, did I love this episode? This is my favorite episode. This is the worst episode. I just, it's all like one thing to me. It's all like one big movie.
Well, but, you watch movies too.
Yeah,
so that's, well, part of
that's kind of what I think. And a lot of people do. I just don't. I watched it all in like a matter of, like, with my wife, like in a matter of like a month, I think. Or no, like it was like three, four weeks. It was like three and a half weeks. And, you know, we were just, you know, binging it. And so it all kind of like, it felt like one long 67 hour plus movie. And, you know, there's specific things that I love. The one I that stands out in my mind, though, is because I knew Ned Stark died. Spoiler alert for anybody who, like, at this point doesn't know.
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
Technically, that's a spoiler alert from 1996.
It is. But I knew that. I knew that going in. I was like, that was kind of like the main, and that's kind of the cool thing about Game of Thrones. You can know spoilers. It doesn't matter. The show's still pretty awesome. So I did know that kind of going in. So, and I knew the Red Wedding. I knew, like, went down at a wedding. And so I knew the Ned Stark thing, but the thing that like surprised me the most was, and I can't remember his character's name because he died in the first season.
I can tell you.
Yeah, she can.
Viserys.
Yeah, him. But the dude got hot gold poured over his head.
What?
Yes. It was, what was it, gold crown or something?
Yeah, so it's season 1, episode 6, A Golden Crown.
Of course.
Avowedly, since I just watched all of them in tight succession with the intention of ranking all of them, I took very detailed notes and I'm like, the episode names started to get more into my memory. So I probably wouldn't have known that before like the last month. But I love that scene too. And it's, the context is that Viserys, who is Dany's older brother, married her to Drogo, who's Jason Momoa.
This is the part I actually remember because this is right when I stopped, I think.
Oh, yeah. And but then Viserys is like, oh, he's not holding up his end of the deal, gets really drunk and tries to kill Danny. And then, you know, Drogo is supposed to give him, quote, a golden crown. And then.
And then he gets hot gold poured over his head. I mean, but it's just like, I was not expecting that. And like me and my wife were like, jaws dropped. Look, he's jaws dropped. Because like that was the first, you know, obviously we'd be surprised many more times. But that was the first one where it's like, holy, this series is for real.
So this gets to an interesting point I had and why I stopped watching. Because the first five episodes.
It's a little slow.
I'd heard all these great things about the show and the dragons. And I'm like, okay, this show sounds really cool. I have to watch it. First five episodes I watched it, I'm like, I don't get it at all. I don't get why everybody's excited. I think if I'd gotten to the hot gold part, I probably would have been like, oh my God. But
yeah, you're like, oh wow, you know. But I mean, I think even in the first episode, when, you know, when there's the incest and the dude, you know, the kid getting kicked off the
That
the
was crazy stuff. Too.
That was
yeah.
I mean, that was how the first episode ended. But you know, in hindsight, it's not that crazy. But you know, that for a first episode, that's a pretty good.
But it seemed
good.
To slow down.
Yeah,
it really does. It really does. And in fact, in my episode ranking, you will notice that episodes 2 and 3 are quite low on my list. I really don't like the second episode. It's one of my least favorite episodes of the whole series. But yeah, I tend to think it picks up in episodes 5 and 6 in season 1. If you are trying to rewatch it, or Brett, maybe you guys want to try to get in on the end.
I don't know. Hot gold on the head is pretty awesome.
It is all well, no, but it gets,
not
but
for the person getting it.
It gets better. I mean, in terms of like crazy stuff that happens. Oh, it gets way better. You know, there's Danny. You know, just naked running through fire. You know, the monster versus the viper fight was pretty epic.
The mountain.
Yeah, the mountain. Anything involving the mountain.
He's
freaking,
a monster, but
he's
yeah.
freaking cool.
So tall.
There's you know, anything with Ramsay's pretty awesome. The dude getting his nuts chopped off is pretty great. I mean, it's for real. Like Night King turning like Viserion or something, the dragon
yes.
into like a zombie dragon with blue eyes. That was awesome. You know, there's so many kind of like awesome moments, but it's just like the hot gold. It's just like it's the one that like kicks everything off.
Man, this is I might have to go back and try to do this. Okay, I think I'm going to do this.
I don't think you have time before.
Doesn't matter. I'll just watch it. I'll just do it. So let's look at Game of Thrones legacy, because obviously this is a show that's been around a long time, and it has been very influential in TV and in fantasy. Where do you ultimately think we'll see Game of Thrones in terms of its impact and legacy on TV? We'll start with our TV expert.
I think a lot of that depends on the finale. And, you know, since I was doing so much work about it before it premieres and like going to the junket and the premiere, I'm thinking to myself, you know, HBO doesn't have to do this. They don't have to do a full press PR for a show that everyone's going to watch anyway. And then I think they really care about it going out with like a really big bang for like business reasons and also like bragging rights. You know what I mean? Like they want to end like their biggest show of all time with like the biggest party of all time, essentially, right? And I think they could. I think if the final season really disappoints, I think there's a huge possibility that it might, because this series has really high highs and really low lows. Yeah, I did a low voice for that. So it could totally, How I Met Your Mother itself, it could have a really stupid finale. It could have like a perfect happy ending, and that would be dumb. It could use weird magic that we've never heard of, like Brian was talking about, and just fix all the problems.
If they'd use time travel. Wrong.
A lot of people think wrong. They might use time travel.
Oh, dear God.
See, yeah. That's
you know, there's just like, there's a million ways to mess up, and there's not a lot of ways to get it right. So I think it could go down in history as one of like the worst finales because the expectations are so high. You know, sort of the way that Justice League went down so hard because people really were excited for Justice League. But I don't think there's any TV show that's ever had more anticipation and more hype and more expectations for its final season than this. And, you know, I think it really could crash and burn. And I think that could affect its whole legacy, especially with the way that TV is changing and HBO is now owned by AT&T. I think this could be like, and that's when HBO began to fall, because Veep is over too, you know? So. Or it could ride really high and it could cement HBO's place in like our peak TV future where there's like a million streaming services, but HBO still really matters.
You know, the interesting thing about HBO is they've had a lot of their execs leave. I think Plepler just left, like, about, or he announced he was leaving like a month ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But they've also had a lot of high profile execs leave. So, yeah, it is interesting, like, once this show ends, whether this is like the downward spiral of HBO.
I mean, I feel that tragic. The premiere, the whole bit of it was a show for AT&T. Like, look at us. Look how important we are to your portfolio now, you know? Like, because they got to fight for themselves because they're a smaller fish in a bigger company now.
Yeah. What's the crown jewel of HBO, you'd say, right now? Sopranos? In terms of all-time TV?
Like, yeah. So say Game of Thrones legacy is up in the air.
Yeah.
It's definitely The Sopranos. And they did a lot of the same things they did for The Sopranos. Our TV editor, Gary Levin, told me that at The Sopranos finale premiere, they also brought back all the dead characters the way they did with Game of Thrones.
So... do you see a finale being so good that it could be better than Sopranos? Because, you know,
I mean, the Sopranos finale is fantastic. In my opinion, don't at me about that. It's a great finale. Shut up.
You have strong thoughts on this.
I don't want to know if he's dead. Don't tell me if you think he's dead or not. Anyways.
So, okay, Brian.
Yes.
What do you think legacy-wise?
So here's the thing. Unless they pull something like stupid, like time travel or something, or just do something really moronic. If they have like a mediocre finale or above, it's going to go down as the best fantasy series of all time. And I think it's going to go down as like the Star Wars or Marvel of TV. It's never going to be seen as like the peak TV kind of like, I don't like The Sopranos. You know, I think those are always going to hold like some, you know, like upper crust nature to things. And there's always going to be upper crust stuff. Whatever. I think, you know, just for everybody, you know, just for like the common man, you know, just kind of like a mainstream thing, you know, I can't see anything being like Marvel or Star Wars other than the Game of Thrones, just because of the characters they've had and the stories they've told and the surprises they've had. And I think even if it's a great finale, people are going to still hate it because people suck. I mean, there's going to be people who don't like what happens. And I think you don't do it for those people. I think, you know, if they'd have to really f*** it up, like with time travel or something, to really mess up the show's thing. And I don't see them doing that. I don't see them, you know, one episode ruin the legacy of the show. Just because, you know, the 7 seasons, the stories they've told, the characters they've had, the only thing that compares to it is like a Star Wars or a Marvel, I think.
So, okay, before we go, fun stuff. Kelly, you checked out the premiere, but you also got to talk to some of the stars in the show. First off, what was that like?
It was really fun. A lot of them were jet lagged or very caffeinated. So I talked to a whole bunch of people, not Amelia, Kit, Peter, or Lena, unfortunately. But I asked them a whole bunch of fun questions because they weren't allowed to talk about season 8. So one of them was whether or not they wanted a dragon or a direwolf as a pet, which, funnily enough, the 3 of us also answered.
Yes, we did. And in fact, we have more of them talking about that.
Yes. So we have a whole bunch of people from the show talking about whether or not they want a dragon or a direwolf as a pet, including Isaac Hempstead Wright, who plays Bran, Gwendolyn Christie, who plays Brienne, Nikolai Coster-Waldau, who plays Jaime, Jacob Anderson, who plays Grey Worm, Joe Dempsey, who plays Gendry, Ian Glenn, who plays Jorah, et cetera, et cetera. I can't. There are a lot of them.
Well, let's listen in. Here's a clip.
I mean, I probably should say a direwolf, but I'd rather have a dragon.
Yeah. Not licking your face, obviously.
Dragon.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, tough.
Dragon.
Direwolf.
Yeah, me too.
Easier to clean up after.
Dragon. 100% a dragon. I've got a dog, so... I don't need a dog. What would you have?
I'd have a dragon as well. I think easy to get around, sort of multifunctional.
Do you know what I mean?
You know, transport as well as...
What? Has anyone done that? Has anyone got on a direwolf in the show and, like, had a ride on a direwolf?
I think so.
A direwolf's about the size of a Shetland pony, isn't it? You can't really ride those because they're...
Yeah, you can stick toddlers on them on the beach.
Black direwolf rides on the beach.
Dragon, yeah. I get on with the dragons. I'd name it, Danny.
I think a direwolf's a little more practical. So I might go with that.
Well, we don't have a very big apartment.
Yeah, dragons seem to be quite dangerous from day one, though.
I mean, I think a direwolf starts quite cute and then gets more dangerous as it gets older. With a dragon, you've got to keep your eye on it from the moment it pops out the egg. So I think at least with direwolves, you get a little bit of cute before, you know, your house has been ripped to shreds. With dragons, they can set fire to the place from literally the first day that they hatch.
Yeah. I'm supposed to stay strong, but I would really want to ride a dragon.
I know, me too. I would love that, but I feel like we should be House Stark, Team Stark.
Yeah, a wolf.
A wolf.
Isaac picked a dragon too.
He's not a true Stark.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Can't sit with us.
Okay, listeners, your turn. We want to hear from you. Are you planning on watching the final season of Game of Thrones? Would you rather have a dragon or a direwolf as a pet? Would you like to pour hot gold on someone? Let us know on Twitter. You can find us
No! No! I don't want to know. I'm going to call the police.
Okay, all right. Would you like a tungsten ottoman? Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brevelina23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
Don't forget you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That will do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilots/producers of The Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the podcast, and we always love the feedback. If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or pretty much any app you listen to podcasts. We'll be there. That'll do it. Until next week, nerds out.
Later.
The night is dark and full of terrors.